advertise. You know, I have our guest here from the Cadet Force. People were very impressed with them the last time they were here. And now they have their anniversary celebrating, which is 115 years in the Cadets. Well, let me get it right here. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, Cadet Force celebrates 115 years of service. The next generation leads the way. So let's talk to our guests. I only seen one name they put there, but I've seen two people. Major Randall. Who said Major Randall? And we have hey, good afternoon, yeah?
Good afternoon, yes.
Yeah, man, yeah, man. Put the mic by your mouth this week. Yeah. Come over here, man. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thing there, okay. Nice, man.
I will adjust.
Okay, okay. Right? Nice. Cool. Right? Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. So tell us where we are. How was your last time you were here?
Greetings. I'm Major Roberts, Public Affairs Officer. We recently celebrated our anniversary this month, Cadet Month, of May, with two events. Church service earlier in the month, and just this weekend, we had a major parade with troops all assembled at Queen's Royal College grounds. We had the privilege of our Commander-in-Chief, Her Excellency, inspected the troops and presented awards to a number of adults who have crossed 12 plus years in terms of service. So they were presented with the Cadet Force Medal. And then we had the Honorable Minister of Homeland Security presenting 16 cadets with Cadet Efficiency medals.
Right, man. Nice, man. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so we have the 115 years of service, over 100 years of the Cadet Force, wow, and still, you know, still going strong. What do you think has been the reason why the Cadet Service has, you know, lasted this long?
All right, good afternoon. I am Major Randall Luces. Let me start first by identifying what is the mission and the vision of the Cadet Force.
Right.
We didn't discuss that last time when we were here.
Yeah.
So our mission is to create responsible and loyal citizens using a holistic approach to military training, emphasizing the development of leadership skills whilst providing an equal opportunity to all who qualify to serve. And our vision is quite simple: to be recognized as the premier military organization in the Caribbean whose focus is youth development and which is fully equipped to deliver holistic training.
Nice.
So over the years, we have been trying to live this vision and mission of the force. Times have changed, uniform has changed.
Yeah, but looking at you, I'm not watching the uniform. I said, is he carried uniform now, boy?
Yes, so a nice number of things have evolved over the years, and we are in a position where we have to evolve with the organization and with the times. So as you know, we started on the 10th of May, 1910,
right,
with only two schools, Queen's Royal College and St. Mary's College. And 15 years ago, to mark the 100th anniversary, a centennial committee was established. And in 2010, that committee produced and published a book titled Celebrating 100 Years of Cadets, Queen's Royal College and St. Mary's College. 1910 to 2010.
Yeah, yeah.
So I brought a copy of the book today. Nice. It's available in most, it's hardcover.
Yeah.
Available in most bookstores.
Right.
And we can't sit here and enunciate the whole history of the Cadet Force, but we can direct our citizens where they can get that history in writing.
Now, you say, well, Queen's Royal College and, well, St. Mary's, of course, the Cadet Force spans of other schools, you know? Many other schools.
We have close to 75 schools with established units. From then to now, we have really made some great headway.
Yeah.
Right? Lots of challenges have faced us throughout that time.
What are some of the challenges? Like what?
Right. So the Cadet Force would have sent officers and adults to serve in World War One.
Really? Okay.
In World War Two. The Black Power Revolution in 1970, we had officers and warrant officers assisting the police and the army in that exercise as well.
Right.
In more recent vintage, in 1990,
for the coup,
both of us served at that time.
Okay.
Of course, we were much younger.
Yeah.
And then we had the COVID, which was a different type of enemy that also crippled us. It was a bit debilitating. To the cadet force, we lost almost 3 years of training and producing cadets for that period. So we are still in the rebuilding process at this stage.
Right.
So just allow me to quote one thing from this book from the Honorable Prime Minister in 2010, who happens to be the Honorable Prime Minister now, Mrs. Kamala Prasad Bisesa. She said, "I also challenge you to draw from within your ranks dedicated, knowledgeable, and charismatic leaders, able to encourage our young people to take advantage of the prospects offered by the cadet force. Creative new mechanisms must be embraced to captivate our imagination in the youth of these organizations."
Right.
And that is why we are here. We are here to discuss some of the new methods. We are here to discuss some of the new training opportunities that we are offering to the cadets that perhaps the general public may not know.
Yeah, yeah. The next generation of cadets, right? And what age could one be to join the cadets? At what age?
Well, essentially, the cadet force is open to students of secondary school between the ages of 11 to 19.
Mm-hmm.
You need your parents' permission and the principal's permission for the school you're attending.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop other youngsters from other schools where there's not a unit, but because of the sort of expand that we have had over the years, more youngsters are now more available to units either in their school or nearby.
Right.
Years ago, we had specialist units like TNTech through the trade school and others that, you know, facilitated external units. But now we are operating in 70 plus schools,
right?
And youngsters have that opportunity to participate in the program. And it's more diverse now than it was 15 to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We have regular infantry training, the traditional cadet program. We have a naval and aviation program, and the specialist infantry, music, medics, signals, and we now have a new unit that was established about a year or so ago that handles woodwork, sort of an artisan sort of program that provides support, especially at camps and so forth, where a number of things need to be. So it's a technical program that was introduced a year ago, and we are now creating different opportunities in partnership with other agencies like WITEP and so on.
All right, okay. Now, how expensive is it to be a cadet, to join the cadet? Because, I mean, in terms of now, you know, parents think, I want my son to join the cadet, you know, but I had to buy uniform, I had to buy the boots, I had to buy thing, I had to buy this, I had to buy that. You know what I mean? And there should be no expense with you when it comes to, you know, your child or your children. That's something some parents had to put into play. So how is expensive it is to be a cadet? Like, what are some of the expenses?
There's a short answer and a long answer. And there's a politically correct answer and one that is not politically correct. So the short answer is no, it's of absolutely no cost to the parent or the cadet. But we have found that sometimes that has been a little bit slow in coming.
Yeah.
And for example, to send our cadets out to parade on Saturday, what you find doing is that the various parent committees and unit commanders would have engaged in fundraising exercises to speed the process up. Now, we have trained our officers to become bold in taking initiative and getting things done.
Right.
And you can't blame them if they go around the process a bit and speed things up by doing fundraisers and so on.
Yeah.
So a lot of the uniforms that you saw there would have been tailor-made uniforms by private tailors and so on.
Right.
Some, of course, would have been issued by the state, but it's a bit slow in coming sometimes. But the individual parent or cadet doesn't really have an expense to outfit themselves.
Okay.
So I'll give you another example. Presently, we are preparing two batches of cadets to travel, both to Grenada and Dominica.
Okay.
And that is of no cost to them. That is a burden that is being taken up by the state. All so right. we have to compliment the state for, you know, coming out.
Mm. And now as they have this new administration, will you fall under defense or the Homeland Security?
So we fall under the Ministry of Defense.
Right, okay.
And that was proclaimed in the Gazette just a couple of weeks ago.
Mm. Right.
So it's official.
Mm. Okay. All right. Definitely. So I saw the 115 anniversary. What new is taking place? What was the new forward, new leadership, the new way? What's some new? Because like I remember the last time I tell you I was here, I say I had to make it cool for these kids to join cadets. I gave you my own example where I joined the cadets because the cool kids in school were in cadets. The boys they kind of look up to now, right? And my mother wanted me to be in cadets too, right? So it was a win-win. She wanted me to be in cadets, and I say some of them cool fellas in the cadets, man. So I joined the cadets because of that, you know. But what is the new way of your, you know, winning in these kids right now?
All right, so I think both of us might give it a shot. So I know our present deputy commandant, acting Lieutenant Colonel Hart, in his report on Saturday at the annual inspection period, he spoke about the organization pivoting a bit so that we can embrace change. Right. So one of the things he spoke about was we would be embracing the use of AI, artificial intelligence, in our training and so on.
Okay.
He also postulated that he wanted to partner. In fact, he has partnered with YTEP to train and certify our cadets in various skills to equip the cadets with valuable entrepreneurship skills.
Right.
As a pilot project, we are about to engage our cadets in programs such as electrical installation, digital technology,
okay,
web design, masonry, welding, and woodwork, unquote. In recent times, we had our cadets trained and awarded with in first aid, in CPR particularly, and AED, which is automated external defibrillator. We had them trained in community emergency response team, also called CERT, and we also classified 38 cadets during the Easter vacation in shooting with the .22 bolt operated rifle.
Okay.
So we have been offering a lot of varied
skills,
opportunities and skills, and yet to engage in some new ones coming.
Nice, man. Beautiful robots, am I here? Huh? He said you were going to take a shot at it too.
He will.
Okay. Well, just after that, there are some youngsters who would have gotten involved in the President's Award program at I think out Eastern Fort Battalion. There are some of them who have participated. So it's a program that we would have brought to Trinidad and Tobago all the way out in 1966-67 thereabouts. It's also known as the Duke of Edinburgh Award scheme around the region. So it's something that we continue to produce youngsters, give them an opportunity, and those youngsters pursuing that activity also have an opportunity in at the next level, silver and gold award, to travel. They have an opportunity to participate in a Caribbean expedition called CAS. So what you find a lot of integration between cadet corps around the region. He alluded to Grenada and Dominica. Each territory has its own annual training camp, and invitations are extended to each other.
Yeah.
So you'd find when we have our camp in July, August, we may very well have participants from other territories within the region. So it's a lot of opportunities for exchange and growth and development. You know, some youngsters went to Tobago just recently, and sometimes, you know, that camp experience is the first time they're away from home.
Home, yeah.
Learning to grow, first time they may have traveled on the boat, for example, or plane. So for example, the Maritime Battalion, which comprises aviation and naval cadets, had an opportunity to do some training in Tobago. The two different units, two different programs, but they work together under one formation. But they had a particular type of experience out in Tobago, which is new. So, you know, my perspective is that the organization really provides what I would sum it up as an adventure of a lifetime.
Nice, man. We're making it sound like nice and fun. But let's say you have a parent or parents out there who want the child to be instilled with some kind of discipline. It might be a little unruly and thing. I mean, is the candidates an organization where you could put that child? I mean, the child has to be willingly want to come in. But let's say a parent looking for that kind of outlet for their child.
So a secondary school principal is a very powerful person in his own school, her own school. And while the cadet force is not an institution where the court may punish you and send you to cadets, we're not about that. The principal in and of himself or herself has the power to instruct a parent. I guess they can't force them, but using strong words and encouragement, he can say, listen, I could save your child from a suspension, but part of the activity to help this child would be to join the cadets. And we will observe the cadets, the child's improvement over the next couple of months. And let's say it goes in a positive direction, then we have saved that child from getting a suspension. And whereas if the parent says no, that suspension might come faster. Because no solution is being made towards that problem.
So the cadets is like an alternative.
It is an alternative, yes. And you know, we could boast. I mean, the deputy commandant said for every cadet that is out there, it is one less deviant person in society.
Right.
And we are sure about that. Our cadets, by and large, they do well in school. They follow rules. They understand the consequences that will follow if rules are not followed.
Right.
And so that we don't have all the answers, but what we do know as well is that we give a lot of credibility to the other youth organizations. We are not boasting to be better than any other organization.
Yeah.
What we say is that we work together with them because it's all about youth development.
Right, okay. And of course, there will be, like I say, working together, there will be color. What are some of the other youth organizations that you kind of collaborate with so that we can have a little integration going on?
Well, we have been partnering with the Scouts Association and the Girl Guides Association in particular. Last year, we saw a very exciting culmination of that partnership in a youth parade in San Fernando for Republic Day. And that collaboration has also allowed for us to integrate with training. So in the scheme of things, the Scouts Association got involved in training, which we did not have the resources for when they invited our cadets to participate. So, you know, one of those aspects was boating in San Fernando. And it was an opportunity for our naval cadets who had a different perspective, a different interest to pursue in partnership with the Scouts Association. So it's something that is ongoing. We have been having really exciting conversations of how we take that collaboration further. There's certainly opportunities because we are all the three oldest uniformed groups in Trinidad and Tobago. So we have some similarities across the boarding structure. So the for example, the same President's Award program. So there's room for exchange. So we might do training and they could assist us as assessors to evaluate it. And likewise, you know, we tend to come together under that banner at times to do different things. And it's so far from what I have observed from the cadets that I have seen participate. It seems to be an enjoyable experience. And while we different uniforms and have different nuances, and you know, cadets is a more militarized, structure type arrangement. The collaboration has worked well for us and has worked well for them.
Nice. We have just about 4 minutes before the news. Are we talking about the cadet force celebrating 115 years of service? What about girls and females in the cadets? Are females in the cadets now treated any differently to the boys? Do you approach them differently?
No, we don't. We have had girls since 1984. Yeah. Mm. So we're 41 years in with women. I think in the early days we did sort of treated them gently and so forth, but you know, by the time they got to their first annual training camp, they were into all the adventure. You know, they hold their own, they do things. They're very independent, very strong willed. You know, there are some those who became NCOs were as strong or stronger than the boys in terms of their leadership capacity and so forth. So yeah, it's an equal opportunity. Yeah.
Of course, it helps them to build confidence and that kind of thing too, especially.
Yeah. You know, they have done a lot of training very specifically for the girls and the women in particular over the years.
Yeah.
You know, you see them holding their own. You know, by and large, the majority of the graduates of the program are boys.
Mm.
But you're seeing now women who are adult officers,
right,
who were themselves cadets.
And
I've gone on now to other careers and so on.
Nice, man. So we had the news coming up, guys, so I just want to thank you very much. Just a quick little wrap-up in terms of the 115 years of service. I mean, congrats and keep the cadets going on strong. Anything you want to say, your final words there, Mr.?
Yeah, so after 115 years, we still we don't have a place to call home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a training academy.
Okay.
And we don't have a permanent headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is our dream. Mm-hmm. It is our wish that in this second 100 years,
yeah,
perhaps the earlier part of it, we would be, you know, lucky,
yeah,
to get a place to call home.
All right.
And that will aid in training more females and more adults to take over.
All right, man. We need that. Right, so we're looking forward to that. Thanks a lot, guys, as always, and all the best. Keep the cadets going strong. Freedom 106.5, people.